The Sunday Sit-Down on Algoa FM.
Louis Tomlinson, the song's called Bigger Than Me. And I think I've just ruined the whole chat that I was about to start by dropping a weird bombshell. Anyway, that is my style. And in today's edition of Fit In, or Mandisa, hey.
Hello.
You say a little bit disarming to be A, that side of the desk, and to be the interviewee rather than the interviewer. But that's the thing, though. The Sunday Sit-Down is atypical in that sense. It's more of a conversation. Now, I'm going to give it another bash, and you get to help me. Mandisa Magwakasa.
Magwakasa. Good try. Magwakasa.
Come on, chick. It's four syllables in one click. What were you hoping for from this poor man? Anyway, So you, one of your most recent creative outlets has become radio.
Yes.
We'll get to the why. So let's start at the beginning. You are the new 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Saturday evening host on Algoa FM. And how's it been the first few weeks? Settling in nicely?
Yeah, absolutely. The first couple of weeks was a bit rough. I was sick, like, for every show did. But I decided, you know what? I'm going to just give it my best. And so I've been in this learning journey because I've done radio before, a little bit of radio before, but it's very different, you know, knowing that it's Algoa FM. It's such a respected brand. Everything is done to such a level of excellence. So I was freaking out a little bit. But luckily I've had amazing people such as yourself and Mio to learn from. So yeah, it's been amazing.
Yeah. And then of course there's the very, very special, and I have to say unique in my experience of the radio listening world. The people of Algoa country are unlike any other anywhere else, I kid you not. And surely your first few weeks in the chair would already have confirmed that for you.
Absolutely. The support from everybody in Algoa country has been incredible. Just knowing that, you know, knowing and getting that message when you're in studio. And I mean, last night, as I was saying, I had a birthday on Wednesday.
That's right.
Yeah. And people were sending messages and say, happy belated birthday. Hope you had an amazing day. Dedicating a song to me. I was like, oh my word, that's so incredible. And that's just, I guess, just how we are in this part of South Africa, isn't it? We're really warm people.
Yeah. Who face a fairly unique set of challenges in a country that is very often very challenging.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a resilience in Algoa country that you don't easily find elsewhere, is my experience of it. Anyway, less about that and more about you. Where are you from?
So, oh my goodness.
How long do you have?
I'm an Eastern Cape girl. I was born on a farm somewhere between here and what is now Makanda, a place called Seven Fountains, lodged in between the, you know, most iconic game reserves of the area. I grew up in Port Elizabeth. My mom was a domestic worker.
Yeah.
And she worked for the Long family, a family from Salem, and then who came to live in Gqeberha. And so when I was about three, they took me from the farm where I lived with my gran and my aunts and uncles, and they brought me up in their home. So I was raised by my mom, Auntie Dorothy, Uncle Stan. And then when my mom left their employment, we moved to Motherwell. And that's where our home is. It's in Motherwell. So I've had a very diverse upbringing.
Yeah.
From the farm to suburbs to the location. And then I went to Sunridge Primary School. And for high school, I went to Shorterville, St. James Roman Catholic High School for Girls.
Right.
So very, very colorful foundation, but all here within the Eastern Cape.
Okay. I have a question to ask. I always end up getting myself into this one when I have a lady in the chair. I don't want to know how old you are. I'm not going to ask. You don't need to say. But when I hear Sunridge Primary, I think it was, was Amanda Lingenfelder one of your teachers?
Miss Lingenfelder was.
Yeah.
Oh, my word, you know her?
Yeah, very, very well, and for a very, very long time.
Oh, that's incredible. So in grade three, her class was next door to my class. Hmm. She was like the glamorous teacher. We all used to like look up to her and be like, oh, she dresses so nicely.
But now she's a glamorous granny.
Oh, wow. I'm sure she is.
Yeah. Okay, so were you taught by her or were you just like next door?
No, I wasn't taught by her. She taught mainly, I think, Afrikaans classes.
Yeah, I would think.
So I was in the English English stream, and I don't hide my age. I'm 35. I just turned 35, and I've earned my stripes. Yes, I've earned my stripes. Have long life ahead of me. So age is just a number.
Cool. So we're talking studies. What did you study, did you say?
So I studied anthropology, economics, and legal theory at Rhodes University.
I'm going to need more. What a combination.
I know, and that's because I was very confused. I went to university straight out of matric, and when I originally registered at Rhodes, I registered for a BJourn. Hated the first 6 months of journalism.
Ah.
I studied and I changed my major, and those were the ones that stuck. I really loved, what law taught me about society and business and how people function behind the scenes. And anthropology I love because I just love people, and I'm very fascinated with, how people live and where we've come from in order to be the society that we are today. And so economics was really just trying to strengthen my weaknesses because I am no way that way inclined.
Only subject I've ever been thrown out of being asked to leave a lecture, economics 2.
Oh, my goodness. I won't even ask why.
Noisy boy.
Okay.
Just, a level of disrespect, I suppose, is probably the best way to put it. Anyway, on to, so at some point we finish studying and the world becomes real and we need to make money. Absolutely. What are we doing about that?
I didn't finish studying, actually.
Ah.
I dropped out and I took on a career in tourism.
Right.
Yeah, so studying anthropology, one of the last assignments that I had was I decided that I was going to study the community that I came from, which is a farming community in Seven Fountains, and looking at how the communities were changed because of the advent of ecotourism and what that was doing. And this coming from a personal experience where my family was moved from a farm and then, were changed from farm laborers to people working in lodges and things like that, which is quite a significant change. And I wanted to study this and find out. So I ended up getting a summer job at one of the lodges, and I never left.
That is the way to do it, I suppose.
Well,
I mean, you wouldn't have, not left if you weren't any good. So,
I guess. I think I had a passion for it and I followed that passion. And I really, once going into the industry, I moved to Cape Town about a year after being on the reserve because I saw and I was meeting people and hosting agents that sell travel. And I saw, okay, so the heart of this thing is in Cape Town. Mm. Let me go there and just find out what's happening. Had never been out of to Cape Town ever. And I took a bus. We used to work 3 weeks on, 1 week off. I booked a bus for my November week off, and I emailed ahead to all of my favorite hotels that I dreamed of staying at or working at: the Cape Grace, the Mount Nelson, the 12 Apostles, like all the best. And so by the time I got to Cape Town, I'd lined up a couple of interviews, and by the time I left, I'd landed a job at the Cape Grace.
Nice.
And so I moved to Cape Town in the following January, and I've never looked back since.
Okay. And what keeps you busy now, lady of many talents?
I still work for the tourism sector. I am now what I call a brand communication strategist. Strategy is a really strong point of mine. I connect dots. I make things work out and bring solutions. And then communications, because I'm a natural communicator. I've got a gift for the written word. And so I write. I write for all types of companies, all types of industries. But my main strategy and development for brand, I apply within the tourism industry. And I run a very cool little company I started during lockdown, actually, called Molo Mahambi Relations.
Yes.
Let's give you a Xhosa lesson, Charles.
I haven't had any of those since Standard 5, but all right.
My word. So Molo Mahambi means hello traveler. So we work within the travel industry predominantly, and we manage communications and strategizing for hotel brands and any kind of organization that really caters within the tourism industry.
Very good. Why is Psalm 139 important to you?
Sure. Wow. So I discovered the true meaning of Psalm 139 when I was in grade 12.
Huh?
And when the word said, "You are fearfully and wonderfully made," I was like, what? Fearfully and Wonderfully Made.
Right.
And I think since then, I've been on a journey of really finding out what does it mean to be fearfully and wonderfully made, and also the significance of how close that psalm describes God to be to us. I was like, oh my word, this is mind-blowing. And so it's my favorite. It's very comforting. It's very reassuring. And I always go back to it whenever I'm faced with anything, whether it's extreme joy, excitement, whatever. It grounds me and it just comforts me at the same time.
I think it's important to have a source of that, almost irrespective of where you find it. And I suppose how you find it, or what it is unique to you and says something surely about you.
Absolutely. And you know, the how you find it is the most important thing. I mean, people have religious wars in this world,
yeah,
but really how you find your source of belief is the most important thing. I've been on such a journey, and most recently when my mom passed away in 2020, I started looking into, you know, the isiXhosa religion, and because I'd never been exposed to it, and wanting to find out, you know, what does it mean to have ancestors? Who are my ancestors? How do I, you know, embrace this part of myself that I've never known before? And that journey literally led me right back to Psalm 139, funnily enough. And
as it very well
might. Yes, but with a very new understanding. And also a very new appreciation for my culture and for the beliefs that the rest of my family had, which I was in conflict with before, but now I truly appreciate and understand.
You do appreciate that makes you unusual and fairly lucky. And I'm hoping that part of you wants to share that, in other words, widen that knowledge and give it to more people, because it's critical. Where do I come from? Anyway, more about you for right now. What's next?
Oh my goodness, what is next? So
do I need a cup of tea for this?
That's a question. There's so much. And one of the greatest challenges is having various interests and various talents. Sometimes I have, you know, what I call a crow syndrome, where I see shiny things and new ideas and I want to go for it. So I always have to rein myself in. However, I said on my Facebook for my birthday that my pillar for this year is the word righteousness. And, you know, I came to understand that word is celebrating how I come to make the right choices every day, and how I come to, align my choices with my principles and godly principles. So I'm trying by all means to make right choices and you know, steer away from the goldfish syndrome. So that means developing Molomambi relations. You know, we're very excited to have broken ground in Rwanda.
Wow.
And we've got new clients in Rwanda, so we're going to be exploring that a lot. And obviously, being part of the Algoa FM team of champions, doing that and just seeing where that takes me, because I'm very excited and I'm really excited to see where that goes. And yeah, that's it really for 2023.
Sure. Sounds like, but the question I asked you even before we started is like, do you have any spare time? No. Flat out, no.
I don't. I sleep and attend to my children.
Okay. Do you enjoy cooking? Or is it, it's a source of not starving? In other words, rather than starve, you'll cook? Or is your favorite thing to make for supper a reservation?
If I had all the money in the world, I probably would make more of those. But I love cooking. It depends on what I'm cooking. So I love cooking some of the things that my mom taught me to cook, like dumplings and lamb stew.
Oh, yes.
And I
comfort
love
food.
Yes, and I love making the things that my kids love and they just light up. So like a nice spaghetti bolognese and macaroni and cheese and so on. But yeah, I'm good. I'm okay. I mean, people eat, they don't complain.
No one's died.
No one has died. Thank goodness.
Or been to the hospital because of your cooking. You right?
Yeah, no one's died. Well, I hope, you know. I don't know. I don't always check.
So fair. What a nice chat we've had. So thank you very much for stopping by, especially since, you got to bed as late as you would have done. And we often forget about the added responsibility of children. Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very fortunate to have a great support system, which is why I'm able to do the things that I do. So I'm thankful and I'm really grateful to you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure. It's been fun getting to know you.
Your digital library experience. Podcasts from algoafm.co.za.